I'm delighted this morning that my first grandchild is here visiting with his mom and dad. And some people think his name is Caden, and he'll be 1 year old next month. And some people think he looks like his dad. Some people think he looks like his mom. I think he looks like me, his face. When I was that age, my face and cheeks were just like his. But anyway, it's great to have him. It's wonderful. And God is good. Let's turn together to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us now through your word, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and fill us with your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Tracy Leipert was a beauty queen in Vermont some years ago. Shortly after crowning her successor, she drove 250 miles to seek revenge on her ex-boyfriend for jilting her and marrying somebody else. She took along a pistol, a hammer, lighter fluid, and matches. When she arrived at his house and rang the doorbell, it was answered by his new father-in-law. Tracy faked having car trouble and asked if she could use the telephone. Once inside the house, she took out her hammer and hit the father-in-law in the head. She stunned him, but didn't knock him out. What she didn't realize was that he was an ex-Secret Service agent, retired. He grabbed her, and as they struggled, she pulled the pistol from her purse and tried to shoot him. And that's when the mother-in-law joined the fray, and the two of them wrestled her to the floor, holding her there until the police arrived. When later questioned, this beauty queen said that she was driven to seek revenge because she needed inner peace. She was driven to seek revenge because she needed inner peace. Inner peace. Like that beauty queen, we all of us want to have inner peace. The subject of my message this morning is Philippians 4, verse 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, or King James, passes all understanding. Galatians 6, verse 22 tells us that peace is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. But what is it that steals our peace? The big peace stealer is worry. Worry. How many people here this morning would like to learn how to worry more? How many feel that your life would be improved if only you could spend more time worrying? None of us. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Living Bible translates it, don't worry about anything. Worry, though, seems to be our normal response to the challenges of life. We live in a high-stress culture. Stress from lack of job security. Many people won't have the same job 5 years from now. Financial stress. As soon as you get on top of your finances, the car breaks down. Or you have to get braces for your kids. Or pay for something else. High inflation for groceries. Everything has gone way up. Whether chicken or milk or eggs, you name it. And it's unbelievable every time you go in a store. And things are fast-paced. Sometimes it's hard to get for people to get together as even as families. Some surveys say that families hardly eat together anymore. Work, relationships, kids, and health all can result in worry. And many experts say that coping with stress is a number one health priority of our day. One leading physician stated that, in his opinion, 70% of all medical patients would be much better if only they could get rid of their worries and fears. The Apostle Paul, writing here, had a lot that he could be worried about. He wasn't lying on some beach, on a lounge chair somewhere. No, he was in prison in Rome, separated from his friends, prevented from starting new churches, and he was actually anticipating his death at any time. And we know from 2 Corinthians 12:7, remember that Paul also had a thorn in the flesh. Something indicates something very painful, called a messenger of Satan to torment him, just like what happened with Job in the Old Testament. Philippians, turn back with me to Philippians chapter 1, to the first chapter. In verse 12 and 13. Now, the Apostle Paul says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Do you see what's happening here? Paul is in chains. In the dungeons underneath the palace in Rome, the Praetorium. And you know, you can actually see today where Paul was in prison. You can go to Rome, and it was been excavated, and you can see actually where he would have been held. And I think you can even go down in there to see what it would have felt like. How does Paul handle it? Well, let's go back to chapter 4, verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Whatever your situation is, look for something that you can rejoice about. Paul knew that no matter what happened to him, the Lord Jesus was with him. Nobody can take your salvation from you, and nobody can take the Lord away from you. The Lord Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Verse 4, and the apostle emphasizes it again. He says, I will say it again, rejoice. If you want peace, Make it a habit to deliberately do the things, look for things that you can rejoice in. Make that a habit. If you know Jesus, the Bible tells us lots of things that we can rejoice about. But we have to make it a daily habit to focus on them. Write them down. I have to do that. Write them down on a piece of paper. Verse 5, then Apostle says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Now, why does the Apostle include gentleness there? Well, because when you're under stress, when we start worrying, we tend to snap at people and to get cross and irritable and then take out our anger on people around us. But when you feel under stress, when you're feeling irritable, and happens to all of us, that's the very time to ask God, ask the Lord to help you be gentle with others. And then in verse 6, the apostle tells us what to do about worry and anxiety. Verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Do you want to worry less? Then turn your worries into prayers. Turn your worries into prayers. A man named John, he hired a plumber to help him restore an old farmhouse. And the plumber had a rough first day on the job. Flat tire made him lose 1 hour of work. His electric drill quit. And his ancient one-ton truck refused to start. While John drove him home, the plumber sat in stony silence. On arriving, he invited John in to meet his family. And as the two men walked toward the door, the plumber did something strange. He paused briefly at a small tree, and touching the tips of the branches with both his hands. Then, when opening the door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His tan face was wreathed in smiles as he hugged his two small children and gave his wife a kiss. Afterward, he walked John back to the car. And as they passed the tree and curiosity got the better of John, he asked him about what he had just seen happen. What was that all about? And the plumber said, oh, that's my trouble tree. He said, I know I can't help having troubles on the job. They're going to happen. But one thing for sure, those troubles don't belong in the house, in the home, with my wife and the children. So I just hang them up on the tree every night before I go in the door. And when I come home, and I ask God to take care of those troubles that I've hung on the tree. And the funny thing is, he smiled, when I come out in the morning to pick them up, there aren't nearly as many as I remember that I put hanged on the tree. You know what? Basically, that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us to do in our passage. To take all our worries and problems to the Lord in prayer. Turn with me over to 1 Peter, a few books over. 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 6 and 7, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. God cares about you. He is in control of your situation, and he's Lord of all. He's Lord of all around that I see. Most of all, he's Lord over me. And God wants you to transfer your worries to him. Cast them on him. And that means humbling ourselves and praying. Lord, you know best how to handle this situation. I don't know. But you know, and may your will be done, whatever that may be. And you use this, and Lord, you use this situation somehow for your honor and glory. So rather than trusting in our own power and wisdom and strength, we need to place our trust in God for everything. And then he will give us a peace which defies logical explanation, which passes all understanding. No psychiatrist can explain the peace that God gives. No psychologist can duplicate it. It's not a trick of the mind. It's a spiritual reality. And we exercise this trust in God by committing all our concerns or worries to him in prayer. We take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. I love that song. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there, leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. It's a great song, but I often sing it to myself. And that's another thing to do. Sing hymns and songs to yourself. It's very good. We aren't in control, but we can place our trust in someone who is. We can't control what happens to us. Even experts can't guarantee outcomes. Doctors sometimes don't know what to do. Financial experts are losing big money, and the stock market, all of them just about right now. Policemen get robbed, shot, and stabbed. Lawyers get sued. Good parents sometimes are rejected by their teenage and adult children. We aren't in control, but we can place our trust in a God who is in control. We don't know the future, in spite of what all those psychics may claim, who want to read your palm, or look in the crystal ball, or whatever, do the tarot cards. No one can know the future, but we can place our trust in someone who does. Back to Philippians 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Underline the words "with thanksgiving." And if you take away anything this morning from this, I would wish for you to take that. With thanksgiving. And all of this is very important. This is where many times we make a big mistake in dealing with worries and anxieties. We pray about our worries, we bring our requests to God, but often we forget about the thanksgiving part. Thanksgiving is essential to enjoying the peace of God. When we don't feel thankful, that's the very time to focus on what we can be thankful about. Because you see, as we focus on what we can be thankful about, what we can be thankful for, our attitude begins to change. Charlie Pride used to sing, "If you can see and if you can talk, if you can hear and if you can walk, then be grateful. Be thankful for what you got, because to some folks, these things would mean a lot." And sometimes, you know, we have to tell them, say, "Look, can you see? Can you hear? Can you talk? Can you walk? And be grateful. Be thankful for what you've got." And then, if we do that, the peace of God is able then to move into our hearts and minds. And even if you can't think of anything else, sometimes people say, "I can't think of anything to be thankful," because they haven't thought very much about it in a thankful way. But even if you can't think of anything else, be thankful that God is in control of your life and he is working out his plan for your life. And that all things, that the Bible says, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. In the 1950s, J. Russell had been a missionary in China for 18 months. He was held in a communist prison. 15 of those months spent in solitary confinement. His small cell had no window, only a small hole high up to let in a little bit of light and air. He had no bed, only some filthy straw to lie on the floor. For 15 months, he was never able to see or speak to anybody. Just once a day, a small parcel was opened in the bottom of his cell door, and a bowl of food was shoved through. He had no Bible, nothing to read. They'd even taken away his glasses so that he could barely see. In his memoirs, he later wrote, "The only things that helped me keep my sanity during that period were the Bible verses and hymns that I had memorized. And the one verse that kept me going the most was Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And Russell wrote, "If there was ever a time to be anxious, it was when I was in that prison. And if there was ever a time when it was difficult to pray and be thankful, was then. But I kept repeating in my mind the words of that verse over and over again." And when J. Russell came out of that prison, he didn't have to be deprogrammed, because God had given him the peace that transcends all understanding. Finally, our passage gives us a last key for enjoying the peace of God. Verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." We have to do our part. We have a part to do. God has his part. We have a part. And what we fill our minds with has a lot to do with our peace of mind. What we put in determines what comes out. You put in negative thoughts all the time. As the old saying goes, garbage in, garbage out. You'll tend to be a negative person. But if you use this passage to guide your thinking, the Bible says you will enjoy the peace of God. Every day we have a choice about what we're going to think about. Ask yourself if what you're thinking about fits with these verses. And remember, there is nothing more wonderful to think about than Jesus. Think about him, and you'll have his peace. Do you remember the words Jesus first spoke to his disciples following his resurrection? The disciples were in the upper room. They were fearful and worried and depressed. And then Jesus appeared through the doors, and he spoke to them. Do you remember what he said? He didn't scold them. He didn't complain and say, "Why did you desert me? Where were you when I needed you?" No. His first words were, "Peace be with you." The very thing they didn't have was the very thing he offered, peace. And he still offers it to us today. Bless his holy name. Now the team will come and lead us in that great hymn, "Like a River Glorious is God's Perfect Peace."